Hello, everybody. Welcome to the music show here on LA Talk Radio. We are back. We are live. I hope everybody is doing well. I'm your host, Greg Dixon. You can get me at Greg Dixon on radio. My guest today is Antonio, the powerful drummer that sits behind Jack Grisham in the punk rock band ESOL. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to see you, man. How you been? How you holding up?
Pretty good.
You know, I was dicking with these in-ears before we started the show, and I was like, I was going to ask you, do you use these things when you play live?
No, man, you know what? I've actually tried using them, but I just have to hear everything. I for some reason, when I put them on, it, because to begin with, I'm kind of deaf a little bit. So when I put like the earplugs in, it's even less than I'm hearing. So it's like, I gotta hear something, man. So no, I don't use those.
You know what? I'm the same way. Excuse me real quick. I have a drummer that is just so hell bent on them. And I'm just like, excuse me. I'm like, I haven't needed these things in 47 years, and I sure as hell don't need them now. He's like, well, they're going to make you a better singer. I go, I don't think anything's going to make me a better singer.
Yeah, exactly, man.
It just is the way it is. So you guys, what have you been doing during the pandemic? I know you and I have talked a little bit. You started a cover band called PC101. Talk to me a little bit about that band. I know Landon from Cobra Booking's in it. Where did that idea come from?
Well, the idea for PC101, which stands for Punk Covers 101, was Landon's idea. And he just, you know, he thought of the idea. He hit me up and he's like, hey, man, I need a drummer. We're going to be playing all these cover bands, punk covers. You know, at that time when he hit me up, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't playing with anyone because of the whole pandemic. So I was like, yeah, I'm down, you know. I already know a lot of these songs that he wanted to do. So, you know, I went with it, and we ended up jamming out. It sounded great. And then we, things started to open little by little, you know, we played a few shows, and they were pretty fun. And we're still doing it right now. We have a couple shows booked.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you, the first time I came out to see you guys, I really didn't know what to expect, and I was just really blown away. I mean, you guys did a great job. I mean, the songs were great. I was impressed. I didn't know Landon could sing that well, and so, I mean, I got to give him credit. That was great. And the song selection was awesome. I mean, it was a big variety, and you guys killed it. I had a lot of fun watching you guys, and I've been trying to come out to see you guys again, and then you guys started doing these 80s things, and just the timing wasn't working out for me. And so you guys are going on kind of later. And like, I was trying to come out to a couple different shows, and I really want to come out. And I've been talking to a couple of people about your cover band, PC101, which is a punk cover band. And, you know, a variety from the Descendents to the Misfits to Face to Face. I mean, all kinds. And you just kill it on the drums back there. So give a shout out to the guys that are in that band real quick. I want to give them a plug.
So we have Landon, who is playing guitar. And then we have Jay, who is singing, and then we have Lyman, who is playing bass, and then myself playing drums. So there are four of us in the band.
Now the singer, he won't necessarily sing every song, but he'll still stay on the stage.
Yes.
With you guys.
Well,
which is cool.
Yeah, because Landon wants to sing the other song, so
so
we give him his spot, like, you know, and he wants to do his thing. And then Jay will come out later and back him up.
That's right.
It's all fun. You know, it's all for fun, and we have a lot of fun doing it.
I've been itching to put a cover band together for a while, and finding the time is one thing, but I think I found the time. Now it's just finding the right people to do it with. As you know, I have a little punk rock band that I jam around with, and I talked to the guys about doing it, and I'm just like, you know, we were supposed to get together and do it, and there's a part of me that wants to do it with them, but then there's a part of me that just wants fresh blood and to do it with different people.
Yeah.
You know, and nothing against those guys, but they all have other projects that they work in. So I could, you know, I have an idea that I think is really good, and it's taking songs from the 70s and 80s and kind of punking them up a little bit. You know, anything from the Cars to Elvis Costello. Right now we're getting ready. Toxic Energy is getting ready to go into a studio to do a cover album called Songs We Wish We Wrote. Yes. And, you know, we just cover, you know, the Cars, we're covering Elvis Costello, we do a Damn song, a No Effect song, and it's just for fun, just because COVID just, you know, we were on lockdown, and that was just kind of something we wanted to do, but I've really wanted to put together a cover band for a long time, and I'm not going to give up on it. I'm going to do it. I'll get there one day, but anyway, I just want to give you mad props on that, and Keep it up. I think it's totally dope, and I love it. You guys sound super, super rad. It's a lot of fun to watch you guys. And keep me posted every time you guys play, because I want to plug it here on my show and social media and get people out to see this band, because I think it's just great.
Yeah, and you know, and it's fun doing it, you know. I mean, not only punk rock, but, you know, I've been in several other cover bands where we played anywhere from rock and Espanol. We played 80s new wave, and it's good to do that because, you know, you get to learn how to play different styles and stuff, you know.
Right.
So when it comes to writing music, you're bringing in different styles that you learn, and then you're being more creative to the music that you're writing. And that's totally one thing that I always do. Like, I learn how to play Spanish music, and you know, from friends that know how to play it already, that've been doing that for a living, like my boy Greg. So yeah, it's just like you learn those styles, and then when it comes, you know, to writing music, you put a little spice into it. You know, you might throw a little beat that sounds a little Spanish or whatever, and it just you're more creative that way. So yeah, I would recommend you or anyone to start a cover band of any style of music and just have fun and jam out, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy that you bring that up. I have a friend that played in a cover band for a long time back when I was a kid. I'd go watch him play, and he said, you know, when you play in a cover band, you learn different techniques, you learn different styles, different picking, different chord progressions. Yeah. My daughter, she's in, she plays drums in School of Rock.
And I saw that. Yeah. Cool.
And it's a trip because they're younger kids, but they have them playing like Yes and Devo and a lot of classic rock bands, right? And, you know, maybe I think there was Boston in there and some other songs. And I was talking, you know, with people and you know, family and whatnot. And like, you know, I wonder why they make the kids play that stuff. And because there is a different element to playing classic rock music. I mean, to me, in my opinion, those are probably some of the best musicians ever.
Oh, yeah.
And as a kid, not ever knowing who like a band like Foreigner was, or Yes, like I heard him play Kansas. You know, like they played Kansas, you know, like it's crazy to see a bunch of 13, 12, 13, 14 year old kids playing Kansas, dude, and rocking out to it. They would never know that. And now imagine when they're our age, the ability and the talent that they're going to have. And just like you said earlier, where that takes you as a musician, learning how to play songs that are so technical. And dude, they played Rush.
Oh,
these 13 year old kids played a Rush cover.
That's great.
I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, then you got me over here playing my three power chords in a punk rock band, you know? But that's what I wanted to hit you up from, because where are you originally from? Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Bellflower.
Right.
I never lived out in Bellflower. I was just born out there at the Kaiser in Bellflower. But I'm originally from La Puente, from San Gabriel Valley.
We talked about that, right? California. Right.
And I was born and raised there. I was born in Bellflower, but raised in La Puente.
Okay.
And, now I'm currently staying in Eastville, which is maybe about 30 minutes north from La Puente. But I still have family out in La Puente, and I'm always in the hood, in the area, you know, hanging out.
Right. Because right, from San Gabriel, because I was in Baldwin Park for a while. I think we talked about that.
Yeah.
And you and I kind of crossed each other's path through the NAMM show and stuff like that, and started talking a little bit more. And, you know, I've always found it really interesting, your Hispanic background and then joining a band like TSOL and coming from playing like mariachi music and different types of Spanish and Mexican music. What was your family? Let me ask you a two-part question. How did your family take to that? Even though TSOL doesn't have like that super aggressive, like hardcore, sick of it all sound. So like anybody, you know, it's got a lot of melodic. It's very, you know, you could tap toes and nod your head. Some songs are a little faster than others, but
it's a lot different from a lot of punk bands.
It is. Like if you took a band that was super hardcore, you know, like a GBH, for instance, or something that was a little bit more in your face, you know, TSOL is not like that. They got a lot of harmonies. It's more melodic. You know, right. A lot of dynamics. So when you join a punk rock band like that, what do you tell your family before they've been here? And you're like, hey, I joined a punk rock band and I'm going on tour. And the first thing they got to think is like, wait, what? Right? I mean, how did that go down?
I mean, the thing is with that, I have my family's pretty small. But if anyone knew about punk rock, it was my sister, my younger sister. And so, you know, as she got older, she got out of it, whatever. When she found out that I was playing for TSOL, she was like, "Wow, that's pretty awesome," you know. She's like, "I want to go to your shows," but she hasn't still gone to any of my shows yet. I'm waiting on that. But my sister was the one that knew about it more than my mom did. My mom was stoked when I would show her the videos.
Okay.
Playing in front of all these kids. Because she knew that I've been trying for a long time. And I thank her for it because...
Sure.
I started off in my garage. I was playing every single day in my garage with different friends coming over and bringing their guitars and stuff.
Right.
If it wasn't for her and my dad, I wouldn't probably be playing right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I was sharing the show on the platforms. I was listening to you.
Yeah. I've been trying to get to where I'm at for maybe a little over 20 years.
How did you get the job in TSOL?
Long story short, in the city of Lincoln Heights in Los Angeles.
Were you really?
Yes, I would deliver mail and stuff. And there was this house that I was deliver mail to up in the hills. And
have you ever been bit by a dog?
Oh, I got bit I think once.
We're gonna talk all about the mailman now. We're not talking about it. Yes, we're doing a whole different interview now.
You're a mailman, you're gonna get bit by a dog for sure. I tell you that right now. But out there, there's a lot of pit bulls because all the cholos.
Sure.
So anyways, I'm delivering mail to this pad, right? And then the mailbox is out by the street, but they have a package, and I was like, I'm not gonna leave this fucking package out in the street, you know what I mean? So I'm gonna walk, to the back of by the door and drop it off. So while I was walking to go drop it off by the door, this house had a huge wall, and you could see right through it, man. And then I think it was like a big giant TSOL record on the wall. And now they're like, oh, damn. I wonder who it is. Is it the manager to TSO? And now I don't know who it was, man. This is back in maybe 2008, 2009, right?
Okay.
So then I look at the package, and then I read the name. I said, Mike Roach. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm delivering, mail to the bass player of TSO. I was like, fuck, that's pretty badass. I know where he lives at now. So I started following them on Facebook, and then years went by, and then I saw that Jack had said something about the drummer leaving, so right away I wrote them on Facebook, to see if they would give me a shot of addition, to get an addition to try out.
Sure.
So.
And you're all
listening to the band, so I already knew all the songs in my head.
Nice.
So at the time, I didn't get the chance to try out. They ended up getting Chip, which is the drummer before me. And then Chip, he was in the band for a year, and then he left for I don't know what reasons. And then they put another ad out. Well, not really an ad, but they just like a post,
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's hard to find a good drummer or whatever. So I wrote them again, and then this time it's like when Mike, he wrote back, and he's are you near this city, Santa Fe Springs, by the studio? And I was like, yeah, I'm in Compton. I'm working on it. At this time already, I'm already the supervisor for the post office, not a delivery man anymore. So he's like, can you make it in a few hours? And I was like, yeah, I can. So I showed up because all the guys flew in to try out drummers because they all have different dates. To listen to the songs, the list that they he sent me, so the whole time I was just meditating, listening to the songs, the set list. I showed up, and then I saw Mike and Ron. I met them for the first time, and then I tried out, and then right there, then Mike turns around. He's like, "Can you tour?" And I was like, "Hell yeah, I can." He's like, "You're in," and I was like, "Yeah," but I didn't say anything to anyone for a whole month because I didn't. To me, it was just like, this is too good to be true, man. You know what I mean? So I was like, I don't want to tell everyone, all my friends and family. And then they call me back within a week and be like, forget it. We found somebody else. So I waited for almost a whole month. And then finally, a month passed by. And the guys contact me again. Like, get ready for a tour, learn all these songs. I was like, this is real, man. This is real.
And what year was that?
This is 2017.
Now, what do you do about your mail carrier job?
I left my job.
You just gave 2 weeks and
I was it
is
was
there was there ever like a chance to ever go back to do that job again since
yeah I
you could?
could actually do that now if I wanted to, but I haven't, and I'm not sure if I want to, but I was still okay. So when I left on tour, I was still in the post office. I was just using all my time off to leave to tour with the band. So I had so much time off because I never took time off before, that it was almost like a whole year that I was still working for the post office and going on tours with TSOL. So I was doing both, you know. So finally, I ran out and they said, you know what? It's either I stay with TSOL or I stay with the post office. And you know what I thought? I was like, you know what? Post office is always going to be there. TSOL, this opportunity is not always going to be there. I'm taking this. That's what I always dreamed of doing. And I stayed playing with TSOL. And that's what I'm still doing right now. So,
As many people would think
no,
that the post office is always going to be
it's
there.
always going to be there. Like I said, if I really want to right now, I could go back. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, think
But
about it. You didn't get the gig the first time you tried out. So
exactly.
then the second time you got to roll with it.
Yes,
You
yes, yes.
got to roll. And everybody was very welcoming and it was just a
Oh yeah, man, it was
great
yeah, it was
experience. Where's
yeah.
the first tour?
The first tour was actually Warped Tour, 2017.
Okay, nice. Kevin Lyman.
Yeah, it was cool. It was fun. I got to meet a lot of people and a lot of friends, and you know, see how it was being on the road and everything. It was fun, and I
Did
enjoyed it. So.
you adapted to the road very easy? It was
Yes. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
it was good.
I'm the type of person that needs to get out and do the hard stuff. And but yeah, I mean, since ever since I've been everywhere, we went to almost 10 different countries. And then the last tour we did, which is what, before the whole coronavirus, we went to Japan, we went to Australia, and there were so much other places that we were supposed to go, but the pandemic happened and everything just got canceled. We were supposed to go back to Europe,
Well, you
Hawaii.
guys were on a great run
Oh yeah,
before the
man,
pandemic. You
yeah.
guys were playing some beautiful rooms,
Heck
some
yeah.
gorgeous venues, some
Yeah.
gorgeous venues. And I was like, so like, wow, those are so nice.
Yeah.
It was rad because the leader of the band, Jack Grisham. Hi Jack, if you're watching or if you watch this or listen to it down the road, and thank you again for everything that you've done for me. But sweetheart of a guy. Sweetheart of a guy, just
Oh yeah,
phenomenal.
super cool.
I can't imagine what it'd be like playing in a band with him. I mean, firm, got backbone, but still just a sweetheart of a dude. That would just, he'll lay it down when he's got to lay it down.
Yes,
You know what
yeah.
I mean? He's a straight up fucking guy.
Yeah, all the
You know
guys in the
that?
band are super cool, man.
Yeah.
All of them.
So how long have you been in the band now?
So I've been like so like I was saying, I joined 2017, so since 2017 till now,
17.
yes.
So what's going on with you guys? Are you guys in the studio now? Are you guys recording? What are the plans? I mean, just besides those, talk about those three shows you got coming up. You got the SoCal Hoedown in September in
Yeah,
San
so the first
Pedro.
tour, so our first, so this year we only have three shows that we have lined up. In the first show, TSOL back is August 22nd in Vegas, and that's with Merciful Fate, King Diamond, if you guys know who that is.
That's like a metal
Oh
show.
yeah, that's gonna be pretty badass. Different, you know, in that show. So that's August 22nd in Vegas, it's the Psycho Fest, and then the second show is, that's gonna be here. Here at home, September 18,
Scott Tucker's The
San Pedro,
Hoedown, right?
and that's
So
gonna be the Hoedown. Aren't you
yeah,
playing that show?
we played it last year. I don't know. We hit him up to play it again. We haven't heard back.
Oh, okay.
It'd be fun. It was so fun to open up for you guys on your 40th anniversary.
Oh, thanks, man.
Man,
Oh,
thank you so much. That
that was
was
a good show, yeah.
the last one of the last gigs that we played before the pandemic hit. And it was just great, dude. I mean, we kicked that night off and it was fucking great. It was one of the best nights of my life. It was just really,
Yeah, it was
really, it
badass.
was a pleasure. We played for a shitload of people. We got a good response. The boss, Jack Grisham, was happy with us the next day. Told us they got a lot of feedback. That's what made
Yeah,
him
you guys
picked.
sounded great, man.
Yeah, thank you. Again, a little bit of a different style, a little bit more of a harder style, but It went over well. Every band that night did just a great job. So thank you once again for that, because I know you guys all took a vote. Oh man, I'll do it anytime. We're supposed to do another one. You and I talked about it at the NAMM show.
Yeah.
We're supposed to do another one. So when you were a mailman, what possessed you to do that? How long did it take to accomplish that? Is there like a tremendous amount of schooling behind doing that, or is it pretty simple to get in? Because everybody that I've always known that wanted to be a mail carrier makes it sound like it's very, very much a process.
It's a little hard to get in. It's a little
hard.
At the time when I joined the post office, I actually had just gotten out of the military. So I was in the military before then. So this is around 2007 when I got out. I worked back from Germany, Europe, Germany to here. And then when I did that, that's when I went to the post office. So it was, for them to see someone coming out of the military, they would get you right away,
Right, right.
So, and then my dad had worked in the post office for over 40 years.
Okay.
So I had a little connect to get in even faster.
There you go. Nice. I like that.
So I got in. I came in as a delivery man, mail carrier. And then I was doing that for about 6 years. And then I got promoted to become a supervisor. And then I got trained for that. And I got I had a little graduation ceremony for becoming an official supervisor. And right when that happened is when I joined TSOL and I left.
when you get the position as a mailman, like, how do they pick the route? Is it like, do you get like the shittiest area? Like, do you have to do like the projects first and then move your way up? Who does the projects?
Off the
105 specifically.
And off the
105 freeway.
When you come in as a new carrier, you have to do whatever route they give you, whether it's the rich neighborhood, the poor neighborhood.
Oh, so you don't know.
Just whatever's available. That's it.
Whatever's available.
You might do that and plus extra. So it is a pretty rough job. And then for all the ones that still do it, man, I give them props, man. That's just hard.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
But when it's 100 and over 100 degrees and you're walking in the sun with that satchel, man, that shit ain't no joke, man. And to me, that was like, I'm coming out of the military, which is way worse,
Sure.
So for me to say that, I mean, that just tells you how pretty rough it is, It's not an easy job. It's good pay, man, but damn, you're going to hurt your back, your knees.
Yeah, it's we had the mailman over here this last summer, and when we were having that heat wave, and like they would show up at like 9 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night to deliver the mail.
Yeah, the only reason they're showing up late at night is because they have all that extra mail that they got to deliver.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're not showing up at night because it's hot, trust me.
Oh, no shit. So they're, how many hours a day are they putting in?
When you probably come in as a new carrier, you probably put in maybe at least 10 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's a long
easy,
day.
Easy, and then especially around the holidays, oh, man. You'd be there all day, every day, even on the weekends. No days off.
Really? No, because it's funny because our mailman, he got bit by a dog about 6-7 months ago. And it was like on his third house.
Yeah.
And it was a little bite. And he's like, fuck it. Nobody gets mail today. And he got back in his thing and he split.
Yeah, if you get bit by a dog, that's it. You're done. You have to go back, give them all the mail, and then you go straight to the hospital and get a shot.
Really?
And then that mail gets split up to the carriers that are still there working, and then they have to deliver and they have to stay later. So that's the way it works. The mail has to get delivered no matter what.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So your family adapted to you playing in the band well, and they still are. They're very supportive of it. You're enjoying it. Give a shout out to all the guys in TSOL right now.
Well, the only one supportive is probably my mom and my sister. Not so much my oldest sister and my other family. But my cousin Judy is probably the biggest supporter for me. But
why is that, do you think? Do you want to elaborate on that? Do you just think it's because they think you would have been better off with a government job?
Oh, of course, yeah. They think that, when they see a musician, they think that, oh, he's living the Motley Crue life now.
Sure.
You know, correct. It's not even like that, man.
your guys' band is completely just, opposite
the
of that.
Guys are, like, all the guys in the band are sober, and I drink, but I don't have a problem drinking or anything like that. So, you know, I don't drink when I play shows. You know, when I play shows, I don't drink at all. And but you know, maybe after a show, I have a drink or two, but nothing crazy. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, everyone in the band is sober.
Yeah, everyone. They've been sober for a very long time.
And I've talked to Jack about that. I have a lot of friends that are in program, and I have a lot of respect for the program. I've had tremendous, I've seen tremendous results with friends of mine in the program. And I've known dudes that were fucking sleeping behind dumpsters and now have degrees and own houses and drive brand new cars.
Yeah.
It's just, crazy. It's phenomenal what it could do for somebody. And I'm all about it. And I love Jack and, you know, I love anybody that, you know, is a part of the 12-step program. And I just think it's great. It's done wonders for awesome. Tremendous amount of people.
Yeah. So, you know? Yeah. So real quick, I wanted to say something. So right now, the only thing we have going on for TSOL is those three shows that we have lined up, which is September 18th, San Pedro, November 6th, Punk in the Park. Only three shows. But right now, these guys are focused on a short movie that they're making, documentary, whatever you want
to
call it.
I wanted to talk to you about that. So please, I'm glad you brought that up. Please elaborate.
And this thing is, you know, I've seen you know, little clips, and I see what they're doing, and it's going to be badass, man. So if you guys want to help out and donate money, you know, go to Jack's page and get the info on how to do it, because they're very, very close to getting to the goal, to get to that goal, to finish the movie, you know? But it's about the original band members of the band. And it's going to be fucking badass, you know what I mean? So it's Jack, Grisham, Greg, it's Ron, and Mike. And then they talk about Todd, who is not with us anymore.
Right.
And yeah, it's going to be great. So if you guys want to help out, you know, go to the page, Jack's page on Facebook, get the info, and you guys donate money. That way the guys can finish it quicker and you guys can see it quicker.
Yeah, straight up. You guys heard what he said. If you are watching this and you want to support TSOL, go to Jack Grisham on his Instagram page or the TSOL page and DM them. Or there's plenty of links that you could follow to help donate to get this film done faster. And it's going to a good cause for a bunch of great guys and a great band. I'm excited to see it. I can't wait. I can only imagine how good it's going to be. Yeah. What is up? Plug your social media for our followers and our listeners too. What's your Instagram?
My Instagram is it's Power Drummer. You just look up Power Drummer, and that's my Instagram. You guys can add me, and then I'll post it up to I'll post up the information. And then on Facebook is Antonio Val Hernandez.
Cool. How old were you when you started playing drums? And what made you decide to want to play drums? Just like any other little kid, just wanted to start beating on stuff?
No, I might have been like 13. When I was 12.
And what were you listening to at that time? Were you listening to metal bands?
Around that time, I would listen to a lot of like doo-wop, oldies, rock.
Okay.
And rock.
Wow, nice.
And growing up around that, because of my dad, he would always listen to doo-wop music. So I would always watch movies that would have rock and roll in it, like La Bamba. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest movies that influenced me to want to play music. There's another movie called Joey King.
Okay.
It's like a doo-wop movie. You got to watch that movie. It's a great movie.
What's it called?
You know?
What is the name of the movie?
Joey King.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's other movies too that I would watch all the time as a kid. And I finally asked my dad, I kept bugging him, buy me a guitar. he bought me one, and it was like a little cheap guitar. And, I would mess around with that, put my headphones on, pretend I'm playing and shit.
Sure.
And then I wasn't feeling it. You know, I mean, it was cool, but I wasn't really feeling it. And then finally I walk into, I think it was a music store or something like that. I walk into a music store and I see a drum set there, and I sat behind it, and I'm like, this is what I want to do. And then I started bugging
that was it.
The drum set. And he's like, no, you just going to make noise. You know, I can't stand, you know, I'm not going to be able to stand you banging on the drums all day and this and that. Uh-huh. So finally, I convinced him. He bought me a drum set. And I remember when I got this, I needed the cymbal, you know? So the crash. So what I did was I got a rope. I put a nail through the top of the roof. I tied a knot on the rope, and I hung the rope down. And I put the symbol through it, and then I put a knot underneath the symbol. And I was like, oh, this is going to work. You know?
That's this is going to work. Rad.
This is perfect. So I started, like, you know, messing with the jump set, and then I hit the symbol, bam! And the symbol just started swinging everywhere like that. It almost took my head off. It was just going out.
Almost decapitated you.
Yeah, and I was like, nah, this is not going to work. And we're talking about a big-ass 22-inch ride symbol.
Right.
And I was using it as a crash, you know, and it was just swinging everywhere like that. He saw that. I was like, all right, I got to get you some stands. And you know what? It's crazy, man, because this was over maybe 20 years ago, you know? And this jump set that I'm talking about is the same jump set that I use to this day.
You still have it. You still have it.
The jump set that I'm talking about right now.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that my dad bought me.
That is fucking rad. That is legit.
I do it to kind of like... you know, to remember my dad, because he's not around anymore, but he's someone, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now and playing and stuff.
Did he ever get a chance to see you play with TSOL?
No, he didn't.
Never. Sorry to hear that.
No, it's all right, man. Well, he's seeing from wherever he's at. He's seeing.
Then you know what, to me, then that's just even more of a reason for you to keep doing it.
Oh,
because you can't know.
Check this out, man. This is what I do. Like that, well, this is what I've done. So I have three daughters, right? My oldest is 20 years old. I have a 12-year-old, and I have my 6-year-old. I try to take them. I just gotta make sure they're safe to take them to. But they've been to a few of them, and every time I went up, and right before I went up to start playing, I would always look at my girls and be like, don't ever give up in your dreams, because I never give up. And look what I'm doing. I'm living it now. Like I'm doing it. And then big I go time. Straight to the jump set and I start rocking it.
Yeah.
And they're seeing that, you know, and I want to influence them or anyone else not to give up. Just keep trying, man.
Yeah.
Do whatever your dream is, you know, it may not just be playing drums or whatever. But yeah.
So did you play in any other like local punk bands or any outside of the doo-wop scene? Did you play with anybody else?
Yeah, I play with a lot of local SJV punk rock bands. To see if I can remember a few. I remember my first punk band was a band called the Jawas, and that was in San Gabriel, in La Puebla.
Yeah.
The Jawas, the Beds, Urban Decay, Scum.
So you put your time in.
Yeah, I play with a lot of bands, and I have a lot of recordings that I've done. And then right before TSO, I was playing for an Orange County punk rock band called Litmus Green, which is a great band. And they've been around since like the early 90s, I believe. And I still play with that band, but we haven't done anything since the whole virus thing. So right now it's just TSO and Litmus Green. But I've been playing around, you know, different bands. And then when I was living in Texas a couple years ago, I did a little project with a band called Shame On Me. And that was actually different from what I've ever done, and it was doo-wop music, and it's badass. You gotta listen to it. These guys are amazing. Everyone in the band. It's a band called Shame on Me.
They're still together.
Listen to it.
I'll check it out.
It's like rock and roll and doo-wop music, and it's like way different from everything that I've ever done, and I liked it. I had a lot of fun doing it.
Nice. Are you staying healthy out there? Did you get vaccinated? Are you going to get vaccinated?
No, I am vaccinated. Yes, actually.
Well, did Jack get vaccinated too, or does he not talk about
no,
that?
No, I got vaccinated. Yeah.
What about Jack?
Everyone in the band got vaccinated.
Okay, cool. Right on.
So we're good to go. You know, we're just waiting for these shows to come up. We're gonna rock them, and then hopefully we get more later on.
And you are playing Punk in the Park. You're playing on Saturday.
Yes, Saturday. I
the think first day, the one in Irvine.
Is that what Pennywise?
I think Pennywise headlines the first night.
Yeah,
and NoFX does the second night.
Yes. So yeah. So you are playing with Pennywise.
Cool.
And all these other great, great bands.
Yeah. How are your daughters doing? They've all been healthy. How they this whole pandemic? Online school and all of that stuff.
Just homeschooling right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're holding up, you know. They're doing what they can to stay busy and stuff.
Yeah, now you were in Texas for a little while.
Yeah, I was out there for a couple of years,
For
and
yeah.
I moved back out here last October.
Okay.
So I was out there when the pandemic started too, so
Well, sure you were, because you were
yeah.
out there. Yeah, that was right. But so right after that, right after I'd seen you at the NAMM show, that was the last one, which was in 2020.
Yeah.
We went to Phoenix, or no, Tempe, and we did like a run, started in Hollywood, and that was a week after that NAMM show. And
Yeah.
I was on death's door. I was sicker than I'd ever been.
Oh, you got it. So you got
I don't name to tell, because we were still in the newlywed stages here in
Yeah.
California. Like, oh, it ain't coming here. It's fucking over there. It's in New York. It's in Italy. And I was working at KOCI 101.5, a terrestrial radio station up in Newport Beach. And I remember I had to do, because it's an FCC governed radio station run by FCC, right? So in event of an emergency or anything, I have to give out the alerts. I have to, this is emergency broadcast system type shit, And we had to give all these station checks and a bunch of updates on COVID. But prior to that, that was in March, and we left a week after the NAMM show. And if you think about this, 60% of the population at the NAMM show come from Korea and China. If that's really worth it, because I had never been that sick in my life. And I go and I chop it up with those dudes on the first floor, and I drink beers and shake hands with those guys. And some of those dudes are rad. Some of them, like, they give my kids like free, Rack Toms back in the day when my son was learning how to play drums and stuff. A
Yeah.
ton of those Asian dudes that come out here to have a good time, they love it, dude. And they're super rad dudes. And if indeed, that's where this virus really came from, then there's a very high possibility that that's what I had, because we left and we went with Death by Stereo and Tsunami Bombs. And we, our drummer, our original drummer, got sick right after the Viper Room show. He couldn't go. And he could typically muscle anything, and he's like, "I can't do it, I can't do it." So next day we drive to Tempe. I get off stage. I get sicker than you could fucking ever imagine. Go back to the hotel. Wake up the next morning. Get in the van for 8 hours.
Wow, that's crazy.
Dude, go meet my wife. Flies into town for the last show, because we're going to hang out there for a few days. The last show ended in Vegas, and these shows are great. They were all packed. They were all packed. And dude, I got to tell you, I had the chills. I would cough and it would bring me to my knees. I had a fever. It ran for about 3 weeks. I was up and down, up and down. I was stuck in a hotel room in Vegas. I still played the show and everything. But looking back in retrospect, I'm like, if that was not COVID, then I sure the fuck don't want to find out what is. Because I had never been that sick, dude. I had never, ever been that sick in my life,
It
ever.
probably was, man. It probably
Ever.
was.
It had to be, because dude, we were all at NAMM. And and here's another thing that makes me pretty confident that it was that memory. So with COVID, they say people could get it, they could be asymptomatic.
Yeah.
So dude, I was locked in a hotel room with my chick for like 3 fucking days, and she never got it. If it
Wow.
was any other bug, she would have caught it, unless she got it and she was asymptomatic and she didn't know, which I think that was a big thing. I read a book. And they were saying, I read a book, and I don't care what people's political beliefs are, and this isn't about COVID, but I will leave it at this, is I read a book that was written by somebody out in New York, and he had stated, goes, if we had known in the beginning that asymptomatic people were still contagious, we would have handled this pandemic completely different, which is true. If
Yeah.
you thought they thought, hey, dude, you don't got no symptoms, you're fine. They didn't know that you could just be walking around and have it, but not have any symptoms. And that's what threw everybody for a loop. That's why I think, that's why I'm so confident that I did have it, because she never caught it. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? And
Yeah.
like, typically, you know how it is, dude. If your lady's sick or your kid's sick, odds are you're probably going to get it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right? If your kid brings something home from school or something, you're probably going to get it. So that
Yeah.
was it. Any of you guys to get back out there, sometimes you get it. I do these radio shows. I've had Fat Mike and I've had Offspring and some great guys and musicians that I've spoken to. And I was really always excited to sit down and talk to you. I want to thank you. You've always been such a humble dude, a down to earth dude, Maybe it has a lot to do with your ethnicity, who you are. You know, I think you're just a chill guy. Maybe we just have that San Gabriel Valley thing in common, you know, where we kind of click. But I just think the world of you. I think you're a good dude. I want to thank you for everything.
Thanks for having me, dude.
Yeah, dude. I want to thank you for everything you've done for my band and helping us out. And I know we'll share a stage again together down the road.
I'll do what I can, man, to help.
Don't even trip, dog. I know you will. And, you know, I talked to Jack. I did a Q&A with Jack, a couple years back, but you know, I love you guys to death, and I just think the world of you. And I'm, you know, it's funny that you know, we lived in Baldwin Park, we lived on Main and Olive. I grew up very, very, very poor in poverty. Food stamps, you know, block cheese. It was gnarly. My dad wasn't around. I never met my dad, and you know, it's not a pity party for me. But what I'm trying to elaborate on is, you know, we lived in an area in Baldwin Park to where a lot of times, you know, if we came home after 9 or 10 o'clock at night, we couldn't get to our apartment because there was murders on our street where we lived. Yeah. And my mom walked me downtown Baldwin Park and bought me my very first guitar from a pawn shop. And I regret not having that guitar anymore. And a lot of people that I know that have grown up have always kept their first instrument. And what I would have done to keep that. My cousin played in a thrash band, kind of like a Slayer band back in the day. And they were a band called Heathen. And he taught me how to play all the Sabbath stuff and Deep Purple. That was all the shit that I was growing up on. I was in the fifth grade and I played Paranoid on one string, on just the A string, because I couldn't play a chord. But the fact that you have that kit is breathtaking. And I think anytime you play and I see that kit, I will look at everything completely different. And that touches me. That really touches me, man. That's dope. That is really, really dope. And I got it, man. I got to really give it to you for that one. So before I let you go, anything else you want to plug or throw out there, get besides the movie and any other adventures outside of music or anything that you might have going on or that you
No, just that. I mean, there's only so much we could do, you know. But little by little, we'll hopefully get more shows, and we'll get this film done, so that way everyone could watch it and you know, enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. And I want to thank you again for having me, man.
Oh, dude, don't have a trip. I like how we both have the Ramones going on in the background.
Oh yeah, that's what I was telling you earlier. Like, yeah, I actually had got that signed by the guys at the last show in 1996 at the Palace.
No shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I went, they played two nights.
I went to the, I don't know.
In Hollywood.
Saturday night.
In Hollywood.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I went to that show. They played two nights in a row.
Yeah, I went
to that venue. What did that venue used to be called?
It was the Palace.
The Palace, that's right. And I went there not too long ago for a Depeche Mode. They have the Depeche Mode convention there.
Oh, I didn't even know that place was still there.
Yeah, but it's a different name. Yeah, I'll figure it out and I'll text you and let you know. Hey, one of your most favorite places to tour in TSOL. What do you think is one of the best places you've ever gone that you look forward to going back to?
One of my favorite places?
Yeah.
Let me see. I really, really enjoyed playing Australia.
Australia.
Yes.
Nice.
Australia. These guys, man. The people out there can rock it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere. You know, everywhere we play is great. But I think one of the greatest experiences is probably Australia. I recommend anyone trying to play shows out there to do it. You know, and in Japan was cool too. But I think Australia is probably my favorite. Now the craziest. I always get asked this question. The craziest place that we play and we always play that would never top it, I think it'll be LA.
Los Angeles.
LA punk scene is probably the craziest I've ever played, and I've traveled everywhere already. I mean, everywhere is great. Like I was saying, everyone is bad, you know?
Right.
But LA has the craziest fucking punk scene I've ever seen in my life.
Well, that East Los punk scene, they're pink and fucking junket.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty underground, and they keep it down low until the cops bust it. And
did you always do good with the plane rides, knowing, okay, we're going to go to Australia, you're going to be on a plane for 15 hours? Like, did you adapt pretty good to that, or was that a little bit of a?
I did, because I was I was already used to traveling because I was in the military, you know. I
Yeah, true, 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 true.
So being in the military, I was already in Europe, living in Europe for some time, and then I would, you know, I got sent to the Middle East. I was in Kuwait. I was in Baghdad, Iraq, and I was out. You know, I went everywhere to so I was already traveling, and I was already used to it. I got adjusted to having that as a lifestyle to keep traveling everywhere. So joining the band and touring was part of my lifestyle that I like
Right.
doing and I want to continue doing.
Well, thank you for your services.
Oh,
That's
thank you, man.
you got more balls than I do.
Thank
Only
you.
thing I've ever served is a drink. Antonio, I love you. I can't wait to see you. So nothing with PC101 coming up?
We do go to the if you guys could check it out, go to the Instagram PC101, and we will have listings of shows, upcoming shows coming up, and I believe our next show is next month in Pasadena, Simi Valley, Huntington Beach, and one other place I can't remember the name, but yeah, look it up, PC101, on the Instagram.
All right, for sure.
Follow me on Instagram, Potter Drummer on Instagram, and then I always post up anything updates,
Right.
TSO updates, PC101 updates, my updates of things that are coming up. I always keep everyone updated with that, and so that way you guys could come in and support.
Better drummer, Neil Peart or John Bonham?
Oh, Neil Peart, man.
Really?
Yeah.
You take beer?
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
For sure.
Strong. Hey, you tell Landon I'm not playing golf with him ever again if he doesn't let me sit in on a song with you guys on PC 101 sometime.
I'll let him know
He ain't got a
that,
hair on his ass if you don't let me sit in on a tune.
man.
Hey,
I will.
Antonio, I love you, big dog. God
Yeah.
bless you and your family. Much more success, and I wish you just good health and much
Thank
love
you.
to your daughters and everybody in TSOL. Thanks for taking a couple minutes out of your evening to talk to me. It really means a lot to me, and I can't wait to see you.
Thank you, man, and thanks for having me again,
For
man.
sure, man. Have a good night, and I'll get at you later. Be good, and thanks again.
All right, thanks,
All
dude.
right,
Take
take
care.
care. All right,
Bye,
man.
everyone.